Welcome to season 5 of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. I'm Beverly Densham, Mindfulness Pilates teacher of over 25 years and author. I really look forward to bringing you tips to reduce back pain to feel good, as well as working through stress to calm, with relaxation, positive affirmations and inspiration every week to inspire you in body and mind. Feel stronger, happy and calm. Okay, so big welcome to today's podcast. The title is Building Good Habits of Consistency, Accountability to a Better, Healthier and Happier Life. I'm very excited to have a special guest on today, Sally Pritchard. So Sally, really big welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And would you just do me a favour and share a little bit about your work? That would be really good as well.
So long varied career, but my current role is a technology product manager within JP Morgan Chase, which is the world's most important globally systemic financial services company. Within the organization, I work on AI technology. So we are building systems and technology to protect the firm and our customers and our stakeholders against any adverse implications from technology using artificial intelligence. I love the work because it's so culturally significant and affects the technology, affects everyone's lives. And so it helps me understand how the massive change in the world is happening and doing a little bit to safeguard against anything going wrong.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Sally. I often meet, as I said before, we were chatting before we clicked record today, and I was saying, I think I would like you explain, obviously, you know exactly what you're doing and what you do. So it's really nice for you to explain that in a tiny bit of detail there. So thank you very much for that. And I loved the fact that you sent me a personal bio, and I think this is definitely going to be, and I've learned more things about you as well. And I think I'm going to get every guest in the future to send over a personal bio. So some of the things that you said is that you love to do in life: beach walks, being out in nature, cooking, morning beach boot camp, and then you put, but probably look like you're not enjoying it. You used to ride your friend's horse, loving your family, husband and cat are most important to you. And your family definition, I like this actually, your family definition is quite broad, as you consider some close friends as part of your family. I think that's just lovely. And of course we can all choose our friends. Anything else? So yeah, I think we'll get started on the chat. But yeah, thank you for sharing a bit about you and what you love to do in life and who you love to share it with. Anything you want to add to that?
I think something I've learned over time is like building close community around me and a support group is really important. There's times in my life where I felt really lonely and isolated, and had the big job and great salary, so all the materialistic things, but something was missing, nurturing my soul. And moving to Dorset definitely helped enable that, those soul restorers, like I mentioned the beach walks, but having people to have a cup of tea with, or coffee actually, is really nourishing for me, rather than, you know, meeting up with a friend and going to a Broadway show and putting that on social media, which is a life I led about 10 years ago. Like, it looked on paper as fantastic, but actually I had quite a big hole. So yeah, having community with those activities is really important to me.
Yeah, it's really nice. And we kind of met through a client and a beautiful mutual friend, Debbie, who's also been on the podcast, Deborah Rowland. So if you haven't listened to that episode, it's very inspiring, on the back and stress and sciatica. But what a beautiful person our mutual friend and obviously client of mine as well is. So it's been really nice. Invited to hang out with you as well, with your boot camp friends.
She's a boot camp friend, but actually someone who's like crossed over into my professional life. So she mentored me professionally when I was in a very challenging role as head of product, a government organization, and her experience in government was just absolutely fundamental to helping me survive that job. So yeah, met her at a beach boot camp. But what I love about that beach boot camp is it's everyone from any walks of life, but you never know. Debbie was actually like a serious mover and shaker within government circles. It's been absolutely instrumental in my career. So I love that she has those two roles in my life.
Yeah, I think you're blessed. I had no idea that she was. I knew that she did that. I didn't know that she'd done that for you. So that's amazing. Yeah, an interesting. Yeah, they're really, really good. Now, I'm going to read a little bit more about you and why you kind of got into this. You said that obviously. I'm just thinking which bit here. You said that you started your Pilates as you had horrible IVF journey and first trimester, and you really needed a reset to get you back to you were before treatment. So what was the reason for kind of doing Pilates? You said you before we chatted and in the past that you'd done a bit before.
As you've just mentioned it, having a really difficult sort of fertility journey that contributed to quite significant health things. And I've always considered myself fit and healthy, you know, as I mentioned, boot camp and whatever. And so when you have health things going on that don't allow you to do the things that are your support network, it's really destabilizing. So I wasn't allowed to go to boot camp. And then I felt really, really, really poorly for my first trimester. And basically something happened in the first trimester, and it was a bit of a wake up call where I couldn't just flail about on the sofa feeling sorry for myself and poorly. Actually, I needed to take back control rather than the medical situations taking control of me, or like things completely outside my control. As people will relate that have medical things going on. So I knew I needed to focus on my health. I knew my mental state was shaky, to say the least. So I was looking for something that was a stepping stone to getting me back. And I reached out to a number of yoga and Pilates teachers in the local area, and a lot of them said no because they didn't want me in a class or I didn't fit in with their schedule, which was really annoying. And then what I could have done is gone on YouTube and used I've forgotten the name of, is it something with yoga, which I did in lockdown. She's a famous YouTube star. Anyway, it's something where you just get it done, put on the tape, you don't engage with it and go through the motions. But actually, from knowing Debbie and how she's had the support through you, Bev, I thought I just might as well give it a try to have actually like that dedicated support in more of like a kind of coaching relationship rather than anonymously turning up to a class and just ticking the box and not actually solving some of those deeper, broader issues that I had. So that was the reason why I came. And it was, I had very low expectations. I just thought it was
low expectations. You say low expectations.
I take that personally, but yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, it's only Pilates.
And yeah, it's really interesting. Thing is with Pilates, it depends what's going on, what's good to do, what's not good to do. Somebody said to me the other day, oh, Pilates is really good for the back. Well, yes, it can be, but it depends what's going on and what you should do and you shouldn't do. And it's, as you say, it's not like you don't want to roll up to some a YouTube and just copy something when there's more anyway, really, or when there's more going on, whether that's the back and in pregnancy as well, you know. And you certainly don't want to be doing intermediate to advanced stuff, you know, whether it's for the back or in pregnancy either, actually. You don't want to be overstretching, and there's certain things you just must not do. But then it's not, that's still not good enough, knowing what to do and what not to do in second and third trimester. You've got to also listen to your body, and you know, so it's just not a one size fit all thing anyway. And obviously, of course, somebody said, oh, it, you know, as long as your teacher's qualified, well, definitely check they're qualified, but it's not just that. Have they done training in the thing you need help in, as extra training or whatever, you know, extra pregnancy postnatal, which I have, for example. But then that might not be enough either. You know, it does help if you've actually been pregnant yourself. Yeah. I think that really does help you, that I've had a 19-year-old son there. So I think that also sort of helps too. It says, thanks for sharing that. So one of the exercises in Pilates is called the 100. You say you like it. What do you like about it?
I'm quite goal orientated, as you can imagine, my job. And the like focus, I've got quite a busy mind, and it's surprisingly hard, because again, with my low expectations, I was like, I'm fit and healthy, Pilates is just moving, you know, bits of body about. But it really challenges me. I think in lockdown I did like a 10-minute plank, so like would think I've got really strong abs, although I have no abs anymore. So I've been really surprised at how something that seems so easy and repetitive is, one, physically challenging, but two, is really, I quite like the achievement of it and being counted down. Like I feel a little, like a great sense of like achievement, which is strange. Something quite rhythmical about it that I quite like as well. It calms my busy. I don't think of anything else, but sometimes I do struggle with work popping into my head, or you know, the busy life chatter in the head. But the 100, I can't do that. I just have to listen to Bev's count.
So if you're listening and you're thinking, and you've never done Pilates before, and you're thinking, what on earth are they talking about? So this is the very Joseph Pilates designed Pilates, and the very first exercise in the original mat work was the 100. I never actually do it as the first exercise, because I, in my opinion, it's good, I think it's good to do at least 6 minutes of warm-up before that kind of thing, and then you can go into the more sort of classical original stuff. And the great thing is, in the heat of the summer, you don't want to do harder versions of it anyway. So what you're doing, you're lying on the mat. It can be anywhere from beginners to intermediate to advanced. And with you, Sally, we've been in pregnancy, we've been using the big sort of Pilates ball for support, and keeping the head down in pregnancy, because you don't want to lift your head up in pregnancy, because that can have detrimental effects on the abdominals, and you don't want to be getting detrimental effects on the abdominals. We're just working the deep abdominals, but the breathing, you're beating the arms up and down, you're going in through the nose, 2, 3, 4, 5, through the mouth, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you do that 100 breaths, 100 beats.
Rhythm.
Yeah, it's a rhythm. And you do have to really concentrate, think about what you're doing. And it's amazing to warm the body up, increase the circulation, improve your abdominal strength. And even in pregnancy, you're still working your deep abdominals. So what you said earlier is not quite true. You haven't got no abdominals. It's just that, you know, you're pregnant. That's normal. That's natural. And you don't want to be working your six pack anyway, to get the best results. You only want to work those deep abdominals, which you are doing really well. So yeah, that is the 100. So I hope I've sort of got a slightly bit of an idea of what on earth the 100 is, if you're thinking, what are we talking about? But yeah, it is an amazing one. I mean, a lot of people think they're only coming to Pilates for the body, but it is very much as good, I think, for the mental health as well. And as you know, I obviously teach stress management for companies as well, with all the breathing and everything. So I'm glad you like that one. A lot of clients slightly moan about it, but then maybe deep down they like the achievement too. Because it is very toning, it's very strengthening on the abdominals, legs, hips, shoulder stabilizers, arms, breathing. Oh, it is very good. So okay, overall it's helping me prepare mentally and physically for my next exciting life phase, and I'm grateful for that. How have you found the stretching side of Pilates?
Stretching, I think, so I've been trying to do long walks once a week. So I've got a walk that's about an hour and a half. I do it on a Wednesday morning. I take myself from my house and do a loop down the beach. It is, you know, what, like we were saying at the intro, a great way to get me through the hump day. But what I hadn't realised is actually a couple of times I'd taken my shoes off and walked on the sand and put my feet in the lovely cool sea. And then I was getting cramps. And in pregnancy, you can get cramps anyway. And I hadn't realised that you need to still do stretching even when you go for a walk. So that was just a game changer. And I haven't had cramps since. And what I've built into my morning routine, which... routine is not a thing that I ever think I can achieve, but I stretch in the morning, so I do heel toe stretches when I'm lying in bed, and then I don't know the technical term, but pull my knee up to my chest and then stretch out that way even before I get out of bed. And it's just a really nice way to start the day. Rather than rolling out of bed, I've now learned how to roll properly as taught by Beth to protect my abdominals. But yeah, rather than just, I'm not really, as I said, a bit grumpy at morning boot camp. I don't spring out of bed like a happy, chirpy bird. So having a few stretches actually does ease myself into my morning a little bit better. So that has been really good. I think the other stretches, because who knew, no pregnant lady knows because they've been through this, but who knew that your ribs expand? I knew that my belly was going to grow, but no idea that actually the top half of my body was going to get wider as well. So the the cat stretches, obviously no cow, but just a cat, it's been really nice because a few times I've just had like really weird tightness in my ribs, and that's because everything's just getting wider. So I really like those ones too.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. The cat stretches. And I was also experienced. I mean, obviously I'm your teacher and I obviously practice what I teach, but obviously sometimes we do things that are higher than our fitness level and you were getting the cramp because of the walking on the sand. And that happened to me. I went on three lovely hikes this year and I've only just weeks and weeks on fully recovered. Last couple of weeks, no cramps. But I was having to really up the, you know, I really had to really up the calf, standing calf stretches, the lying down hamstring stretches with the band, the pointing and flexing in the feet in bed in the morning with hugging one knee and other leg straight, flex and point those feet 10 times. I was having to really be so diligent and not over pointing. Otherwise, I might sometimes have started to cramp again because there was a real recovery period needed. But obviously, if you do it regularly, it's very preventative as well, injury prevention as well. So something that you've obviously learned as you've gone along is the value. I mean, we've been doing one-to-one programs together, which is obviously a lovely way to learn and super duper tailored. But the value of that consistency and actually incorporating it into your working day, but also into your personal life as well. So I think a lot of people can relate to that because a lot of clients say to me, you know, I think one of them has broken the cycle recently. They'd be all right for a while, practice regularly, and then they'd get into some bad habits, lapse a bit, stop as much practice as they need to, and then they'll be back at the physio, osteopath, chiropractor, kind of unnecessarily. So how is your consistency? Because I've even taught you how to breathe in between some, I mean, you have quite an intense work schedule, a lot of meetings, there's a lot going on. How are your breathing 1 minute, 30 second breaks going and stuff as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because it's all stuff that you know, and it's stuff that's not like rocket science. But
no, it's not actually, rocket science.
Yeah, it's actually just doing it. So, yeah, I work with the US, so come 12 o'clock, which is 7 a.m. their time, I'm being bombarded with messages, emails, and then 2 o'clock I'm in back-to-back calls, and sometimes that means well, you just don't get a break with back-to-back calls, even though I put in the 5 minute break in Outlook. That's the 5 minutes to respond to whatever was decided in or agreed or talked about in the previous meeting. But actually, just a really silly thing of when I run to the loo, rather than just running back to my desk, is sit and take a moment and do breathing exercises on the loo. It sounds ridiculous in this modern age that that's the only place that I can get some respite. But I tell you, like, it just makes such a difference, rebalancing yourself. And I've noticed how then I perform in the next call. Like, I'm not taking the stress or the you know, the cognitive load of what I need to do next. And I hope I've been a lot more using my rational mind rather than my emotional mind when those pressures come, because the breathing just literally is a reset. And you know, I've done all the like reading and the guided meditation and downloaded the Calm app and did a meditation course, but that was always like a separate path that I had to do when I was sort of telling myself, oh, I've got to do these things to make myself better. Actually, just a simple thing of using it as a tonic during the day has been a massive game changer. And yeah, it just yeah, I'm not sat there on my phone. I'm just sat there just taking a breath.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's been huge.
Yeah, I think it's. I think. Do you think it's because I get this impression? I think I've got a lot of work to do in educating. I mean, you come to me for Pilates, and then I teach you stress management tools as well, which I teach separately in stress management. I get the very strong impression of all the companies and lawyers and law firms and different financial companies I've worked with, and schools and teachers, and just generally people overall, that most people think to de-stress, it's got to take longer than a minute. Would you agree?
Yeah, it feels like a burden. Like when I was doing my meditation class, I had to practice every day, and I was doing Qing Kong and then my meditation, like to prepare me into the meditation. It was like 45 minutes on top of my morning before, you know, I've actually got to work, and it just felt like a massive chore. And okay. Yeah, I did see the benefits of it, but it didn't help with sustainable practice because I couldn't keep that level of commitment up. Which then you beat yourself up against, you know, oh, you're not doing all the things that you should be doing to help yourself. So yeah, it was, I don't know, it's like having the permission to go just even a minute in the bathroom. But actually, I listened to your lavender guided meditation this week, and that's 5 minutes.
Yeah, 5 long minutes.
And it was lovely. And I mean, luckily I was working from home, so I could lie on my sofa and listen to it. But I felt completely different after those 5 minutes. But the, you know, a few years ago, Headspace, I remember the galloping horses, and I'm sort of like wrestling with the guided meditation, and it's like, why aren't I feeling relaxed? This isn't helping. I'm getting more stressed about the fact that I'm not doing relaxation properly.
Yeah.
So yeah, like the a little bit as and when has made me want to do it more often, which is a complete different mindset from how I was perceiving all the things that you know you should do but don't prioritize.
Yeah, I think once you realize that, how powerful a minute here, 30 seconds there, and a minute there can be, it can be like utterly transformational. I've just interviewed, I think the episode's just come out, with Estella, who's a family lawyer in London, a big law firm in London. And it was all about overwhelm. And when she came, I mean, she was just not just overwhelmed, but getting ill all the time. And now she's like, she's the same person, but she is like a completely different person. And you're like, that's because, like you, there's sort of, it's like a light switch has gone off. And you're like, oh, like, you know, you can still be having the same schedule. Mm. I mean, it's not to say that it's not really good to do 40 minutes or something, or an hour.
Of course, yeah.
But a lot of people in companies that I work with, they have things that they love to do to de-stress, but it is absolutely not practical in their full-time, full-on working week and schedule. Even some people who work 4 days a week, it's just input. They can't be going off sailing, stand up paddleboarding, I don't know, snowboarding, and whatever else type. Even some people say, oh, somebody says to me, oh, you want to de-stress, just go for a walk. Yes, going for a walk is amazing and I highly recommend it. But you can't go for a walk every hour. And some people live at work in, you know, gigantic buildings. And by the time you got even to the entrance, you've got to go back to work. I mean, that's how it is a little bit for some people. Or there's just no chance to do that. And so then they're in this slightly stuck situation. They're like, well, okay, I've gone for a walk before work, or maybe I'll go for one after, in my lunch break if I'm lucky. But it's not going to cut it at those other times when it's like peaking different peaks, mm-hmm. For different reasons, sort of stress. So, yeah. I mean, I do say that a lot as a great tip, to just go to the bathroom, the toilet, wherever, shut the door, and you can just stand, you know, and take 5-10 breaths. So every episode we include a breathing exercise or meditation. So which is your favorite, whoever I'm talking to. I much prefer talking to a guest like you than on my own, sat there on my own talking on my podcast. So thanks, Sally. So Sally, do you want to share which one you've chosen? It's the breathing in for one and out for two. How do you find that? And then everyone else whoever's listening can enjoy it too.
Yeah, I quite like the build of it, because I have done a Wim Hof day, and I find that quite intense, and you just launch yourself into hyperventilating, whereas the build one that you guide me through, like, ladders me up to a much deeper, more relaxed state, and also it plays into my achievement brain of I'm getting better, but actually feeling, rather than putting the pressure on myself that I need to be doing this expertly, I'm actually feeling more relaxed and a deeper sense of calm. So I really like the build of that, and it's a really easy entry point. Everyone can breathe in for one and then out for two. But I think the focusing on like the imbalance between the in and the out really helps you exhale. I don't know. It's another weird one that, again, if people say, oh, you're just lying there breathing, like, how can that help? But it works for me. I like it.
Yeah, there's a lot of science and research. Thanks for sharing that. There's a lot of science and research now behind all the stress management tools that I teach. And, it's recommended by doctors now. I mean, they say 80 to 90% of doctors' visits are stress related, according to statistics and doctors like Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, who also has an amazing podcast called Feel Better, Live More. And that's a big statistic. Company-wise, the statistics are it's costing companies 300, it's costing 300 overall, like around £300 billion a year in absenteeism and all sorts of different stress reasons for costs to companies. But the cost to ourselves as humans, it is quite vast. So doctors are recommending the breathe. The word meditation, you can call it breathing, you can call it relaxation, you can call it whatever you like, really. I sometimes call certain things meditation. The one we're doing today is more breathing exercises. Psychologists are using it, different therapists are using it to help people with their better mental health, well-being. And it works. It's kind of like a this one's very sort of calming on your nervous system, and you've got two sides to the nervous system. You've got the stressy side. We actually need the stressy side because, I mean, these days we don't have tigers chasing us, but we might have a very difficult situation in our family or health or work or some sort of thing that feels like a pressure, which is then creating that sort of fight and flight response. So, but we do need it. We need it to give us, and I'm not going to give that example, but there's no tiger chasing us, but they can feel like those tiger moments. So when you do this breathing, what it does, rather than the stressy sympathetic nervous system, you've got the calming parasympathetic nervous system, and the longer exhalations are just create bringing the nervous system into a better state, so that it's boosting your resilience and boosting your mental health. And some people think calmness is maybe not such a strong thing, but calmness is actually inner strength, and it's resilience, and actually then perform better at work, and you've got better productivity and all of those things. So it's quite interesting. In our sort of Stress to Calm series of books, we go into delve more into the science and research behind, things like the breathing. So we're going to go into the breathing right now. So you'll be doing some lovely in for one, out for two, and in for two, and out for three. And we'll just, as Sally said, we're going to just gradually build it up. But just a top tip before you start. I will just mention this, but I started working with a new client recently who is sleeping really badly. I'm glad to say that she's now sleeping an extra 3 hours a night since working with me. Sleep was pretty bad. But she also gets anxiety, sometimes high anxiety. And she thought the breathing, oh, I'll try the breathing in the past, and she thought that would help. And the reason I'm mentioning this is, basically, she made herself every evening more panicked and anxious because she was over breathing. She was over breathing so much that she was making herself more anxious and dizzy and lightheaded. She made herself worse. So anyway,
I've been there.
I did. Well, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to go dizzy or lightheaded, and it's got to be comfortable. So make sure, I'm just highlighting this today because just probably. There might be even just one in a team that feel like this, but if that's you listening, you can care, gently join in with this, sitting, standing, lying down, or even on a walk. But be conscious of gentle, be gentle with it when you first start, and just relax your shoulders, let your breathing slow down, breathe into your tummy gently. And if you do go dizzy at all or lightheaded, that means you've overbreathed for you. Listen to your body, listen to what your body's telling you. Just then stop, breathe naturally, sit down, and start then. When you feel better, have some water, then start again much more gently. So sorry to go on a bit of a spiel there, but I feel it needs to be said because not everybody's used to listening to their body. It might go gung ho at it. It doesn't mean you can't do strong, powerful breathing, like the 100 in Pilates is very strong breathing, but you start off gently. Because you can't have your stomach bulging on that sort of thing. And this is nothing to do with the abdominals particularly, but I hope that makes sense. Sally, anything you want to add to
No, it's what you've made me realize is that I am appreciating both parts. Like the 100 is that strength builder and very focused, but then the build or whatever, the graduated breath that we're just talking about is about resetting your nervous system and getting back to that calm. And I really like, or have been surprised that you can access both through a Pilates class.
Yeah, well, generally you don't. Generally you don't. Normally, most of the time, it's just bog standard Pilates.
Oh, sorry, with you. Okay.
Yeah. With me, yeah, you will. You'll learn many breathing techniques with me because I think there's loads of ways of doing things, and also it isn't one. Some people prefer that breathing to that breathing. That one works best. That one helps them switch off more. That one doesn't make them switch off more. And, and people can be in an office, like I'll be doing a back-to-back workshops, I don't know, with a law firm or something, and they'll be like looking at each other, and like, seriously, you find that one better? Like, you find that one better? And we're all so different.
Yeah.
So yeah, right. So we're going to go into it now. So enjoy this for a few minutes, and then we'll be back afterwards. So big welcome to your number 1 to 5 relaxation meditation. Sitting, standing or lying down. If you're lying down, bend your knees for back support and place your hands on your tummy or arms down by your side, wherever is comfortable for you. You're going to do relaxation abdominal breathing where you let the tummy rise and fall. So you're going to be breathing in through your nose for a count of 1 and exhaling for a count of 2. In through your nose, out through your mouth, relax. And on the next one, you're going to breathe in for 2 and out for 3. Breathe into your tummy like a balloon inflating, and then relax the tummy. Next one is in for 3 and out for 4. Let your tummy rise and fall and relax your head, neck, and shoulders. Well done. Breathe. Next one is in for 4 and out for up to 5. Just let your tummy rise and fall. Well done. And on the next one, you're going to breathe in for 5 at your own pace and out for up to 6. And then you're going to repeat this one more time, starting at number 1. On the next out breath, relax your shoulders, happy shoulders. In for 1 and out for 2. Relax. You know what you're doing now. In for 2, out for 3, relax. Relaxing your back, hips, and thighs. In for 3 and out for 4, relax. Relaxing your shoulders, arms, hands, thumbs, and fingers. Let your tummy rise and fall. In for 4, out for 5, relax. My posture is improving. Relax your legs, hips, feet, and toes. And finally, in for 5, out for 6. My posture is improving, re-energizing, feeling stronger, calmer, more resilient in body and mind. Remember, you can take yourself back to this breathing anytime you like. Take a breath in. You can either repeat it again or take a breath in. As you exhale, wiggle your fingers and your toes, slowly open your eyes or stay there longer and have a glass of water. Really hope you found that useful today. Enjoy. So welcome back after the breathing. How did you get on and how do you feel after? If you feel it could help a friend or someone you know who's maybe a bit or a lot stressed out, obviously share it with them. The other thing that we always do, whether it's stress management, well-being workshops and programs that I teach, or whether it's mindfulness Pilates, is we bring in affirmations, positive affirmations into the teaching. So we've already picked, just before the episode, a happy and calm card, which is a positive affirmation card, and it says, my muscles are relaxed. I love having a bath or shower to relax my muscles and rest. So For you listening, what does that mean to you today? Sally and I are going to have a little chat about it. You could also talk to a friend, family, or work colleague about it if you wanted to. You can also journal for 1 minute about what it means as well. Sally, what does it mean to you today?
So having a bath is like my little sanctuary. I take myself off with either a book or the radio or my iPad, shut the door, and used to have a very hot bath with loads of bubbles, and I would sit there like for an hour until I turned into a prune. It just something about being in the water, something about being in an enclosed space, I find really nurturing. Like I'm a natural introvert, and so for my job I have to be quite extrovert, so I really need to somehow sometimes like top up my energy bucket, and that's where I go to top up that energy bucket.
Thank you very much for sharing. Yeah, I'm similar. I was a mega introvert as a child, so much so that it was difficult, actually. It's very difficult when you haven't got natural communication skills and you have to learn it. I think I had to learn to do, and then I became a confident introvert, but then you still have the introvert traits. But you do need time alone. You do need time to recharge and be in nature. Like I see you at the sea, social thing and everything, but I don't like to go straight into the chit chat. I like to go down to the beach and breathe first before I start joining in with the chit chat. So I hope the affirmation helps you all today. And back to struggling making habits and accountability, because you said you weren't very good at that in the past. How are you finding it now?
I think I probably overend it. So I'm very good at it, at executing in a work context, but completely rubbish at it for anything good for me. So I think you were telling that story of the lawyer, you know, try things for a bit and then it feels burdensome. And so it's just too much on my plate. And then I just go back to doing the focusing on the work. So having a weekly lesson and then the encouragement of that I can do things each day has, and those like almost like micro changes in my life of like we discussed the taking a breathing exercise has overall made me feel I'm in such a different place than I was, you know, than I was 6 months ago, earlier in the year. And I've been quite surprised how I've been wanting to practice and finding myself doing the practice or breathing exercise without thinking like it's a chore or something I should do because Bev told me to, which is a complete surprise. I'm self-motivated because I'm obviously feeling the benefits of it rather than it being a burden.
Thank you for sharing that. I think a lot of people will relate to that. I hope you don't mind me saying, but when I did first start teaching you, your core stability was
wobbly.
It was needing work. It was wobbly, actually. It was weak, actually, in the absolute basic core stability. And the exciting thing for me, I mean, you know, how many weeks are you into pregnancy now? I mean,
I'm 29 and 3.
So congratulations again. But you've transformed your core stability is, I mean, we're making sure, you know, you're working, you know, at comfortable levels and, you know, obviously not going crazy or anything, nothing intermediate to advanced, but you're stable now in your core stability. So it's lovely to see that stability that isn't that just doesn't mean you can't build stability from having very little stability at the beginning of pregnancy. You can change that for yourself.
Yeah, which has been good.
It's really nice to see
the progress.
Yeah, it's really good. There's other breathings that you found useful today, but we'll just stick to that one for today. So have you got any final words you'd like to share about, any wisdom you'd like to share about things that you found useful that others might find helpful to listening right now?
I think in summary, it is that old adage of everyone can find a minute in the day. I think when Bev said, oh, do 6 minutes when you first get out of bed, I was instantly like, oh no, not another thing I need to do. But if you keep at it and feel the benefits, you'll find yourself drawing to do those things naturally without them feeling like a chore. So whatever is your first baby step onto finding calm and relaxation, just do it for a minute, and then hopefully you can do that repeatedly and do it when you need it most. I think a lot of us have such busy lives that we can't have yet another thing added to our to-do list. So it's finding whatever works for you that could be snuck in into that busy day, and then hopefully you can find yourself doing it more regularly, because you get that immediate benefit from it, as I have.
Yeah, that's lovely. Sally, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast, and thank you to everyone for listening as well. Thank you so much, Sally.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So thank you so much for listening to the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. Please rate and review on your podcast platform. You can access the free healing meditation to reduce back pain to feel good in the 3-minute morning routine on my website. And you can book your Pilates tailored toolbox, one-to-one programs, of course the Mindfulness Pilates classes on Zoom, and also Stress Calm workshops and programs on my website. Or just get in touch at www.mindfulnesspilates.com.